Acts chapter 15, verse 1 through 5, the doctrines of men. Boy, this reminds me of, I guess, about every church I was ever involved with. The Bible says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused a great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." I would ask, are you commanded to keep the law of Moses? Now, that's 2,000 years later. We've got the whole Bible in front of us. Are you commanded to keep the law of Moses? Are you? No answers. Amazing. That's interesting. No answers. What if you said some? What if you said all? What if you said none? So 2,000 years later in Christ, we don't have an answer. The same answer that these boys are looking for right here. You never stop and think of these things? Did you know I think of these things daily? Every single day. Right here.
Some.
Okay. I'm glad that Brian fell into the trap. Because if you say some, then you'd have to clarify which ones. And now you open up even a larger can of worms.
Okay.
Which ones? Which law? Oh, so we keep this one, but we don't keep this one. You see? So, do we keep this law? Do we go through every law in the Bible? Let's go through every law. I'm certain somewhere there's a list of every law of Moses. We'll go through every law. Okay, this one's in. This one's out. This one's in. Well, this one's sort of in. We just sort of keep some of this one. Do you see? You see the conundrum? This law, or this law, or this law. For 2,000 years, dissension and disputation in the church over law. I think that's an amazing thing. I think it's an incredible thing. Are you under law? Okay. Which part? Which law? Because that's what's going on here. That's exactly what's going on here. And it was a big deal, obviously. Got a whole chapter of it. It was a big deal. And really, what's gone on for 2,000 years in churches and denominations and groups of all sorts. This right here. And this is what I believe. And this is what I believe. And no, this is what I believe. And if I had you all separate today in a separate room, I'd get separate answers. 2,000 years. Spirit-filled, born-again, Bible-believing Christians. On and on it goes. Back and forth. Back and forth. And all by people in Christ professing the Spirit of truth. You think about that. The truth is here. We all agree. And it's not of any private interpretation. God made that clear. Thank God. These boys were writing it down as they went. They were creating as God ordained. Right here. Right before our very eyes. And the topic of this particular controversy, they had many, was circumcision. And that's a great topic. And it's a very apt topic. And especially considering Jew and Gentile. Which would lead to a different question. Are the Jews under a different covenant? Brian, you got noise in your phone. We're hearing your... if you could mute, please. Jew and Gentile. Are the Jews under a different... Do they have a different rule? Do they have to be circumcised, but the Gentile not, you see? Because the Bible also says, in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile. You know, this past week I saw a man, maybe you've seen him. He looks sort of like the sign guy. And a friend of mine knows him. Because I asked him, I said, is that guy Amish or does he think he's Amish? He looks like an Amish man. And I saw him in Walmart this week, and he dresses that certain way, kind of a real drab blue color and real drab, you know, it's just, you know what I mean. You know the look. Very similar to an Amish man. And I had the thought, I was on my way to check out, self-check, and I had the thought, does that make him more holy? Now you think about that. And immediately the thought came to me, well then Christ died in vain. If you can become more holy by the way you dress, you see? Would these apostles or even our Lord himself have stood out? No. No. Not at all. I'm certain they had a marketplace where they saw people just like we see people at the grocery store or the Walmart or wherever, you see. You know, in John chapter 7, verse 22, do you remember our Lord specifically said, we don't have to turn there, but he said, not to judge according to appearance. Did you ever see it? John 7, 20, don't judge according to appearance. Man, have we ever been part of a church that wasn't, you see? But he said, use what instead? Do you remember? Righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. Look at verse 7 and verse 8. And when there had been much disputing, you ever getting after it? Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. You know, I've witnessed and experienced the Holy Ghost in some people I never expected it from. And what I see here is God made choice. God made choice. And he knows the hearts. And for me, this speaks volume. The inner man. Now, I do believe that the outer, to a modest extent, will reflect such. I believe that. But if you look Amish, I doubt about as much as I would if you had a bikini. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Looking like an Amish man doesn't any more make you holy than somebody in a bikini. Do I think holy people run around bikinis? No. But I also don't think they run around looking Amish. Would probably prefer the bikini, but that's another message. But the heart is amiss. What he said, God chooses and God goes by the heart. And the heart is amiss in both instances. But we've been subjected to both spirits. If you study history, study the history of the Puritans, okay? By the way, they didn't just all wear black and white. Okay. But what does God always say? Look at the fruits. Man, did you finally see the fruits of that Puritan movement? Do you know? And do you know why it's so poignant to me? Because I've seen that in other works. I've lived through it in other works. So I won't go into great detail there. But as I said, there's a very apt word called moderation. Enough said. Moderation. And this is what I'm interested in right here. This book. That's why we're speaking. This book and what's in it, okay? Because it's the truth. We can get a bunch of men together like Peter and Barnabas and Paul, but in the end, it's this book. It's this word, you see? You see? It's all the truth. The Holy Ghost being what? The Bible tells us. What is the Holy Ghost? The third part of the Trinity? The third part of the Godhead? It's the Spirit of truth. John 14, 16 and 17. He shall be in you. Know ye not your own selves. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I've been around folks, if you don't wear a certain color, or you wear plaid, or you wear solid, or you wear red instead of blue, or you wear long breeches instead of short breeches, or short breeches instead of long breeches, and long sleeves instead of short sleeves. And they're talking about cutting foreskin, not how long your sleeves are. And you know, these arguments among these apostles that we're reading about, they go on in our own minds. They go on in my mind, should I do this? Should I do this? They even wore little bracelets. What would Jesus do? You mean you've got to wear a bracelet all day to know what Christ would do? And you have the mind of Christ? Should I do this? And all day long, should I do that? I sent some of you a message this week, and I totally agree with this man. When it all boils down, when you boil the stew down, we've got two things here: thanksgiving to God and praise to God. That's my two requirements, is give thanks to God and give praise to God. And I'm pretty sure whether I have long or short sleeves is not going to affect that. Should I wear this or should I wear that? Should I eat this or not eat this? And should I go here or not go here? And it seems that what we create a crossroad at every avenue of our life. Yea, hath God said. You remember that? Yea, hath God said. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, he has. Yeah, as a matter of fact, he has. If you'll listen, and what he says for you What he says for you, hang on, let me get these calls merged. All right, I think I've got them merged.
Okay, I'm back.
All right.
I don't know what happened.
What he says for you may be different than what he says for me. Now, I had controversy over that one time and preaching that in the tabernacle. And Paul makes this clear concerning the eating of meats. It may be right to you and it may be wrong to me. And he said, you know, if it's offensive to you, don't do it. I don't particularly consume alcohol. But others do. They're not going to hell. God talks when to use alcohol. These boys drank wine, not grape juice. Says the deacon shouldn't be given not to much grape juice. He says wine. There wasn't a limit on Welch's grape juice. You see? And that's what's going on here. Don't think for a moment that the Jews in this group stopped circumcision. That's 2,000 years ago. You see that? Even old Peter. Boy, he could get... He's giving a speech about the Gentiles. He'd sit down with the Gentiles and eat, and if the Jews showed up, he'd get up and change tables. You see? Peter. God sent him a vision. Remember? Because he's going to Cornelius. Sent him a vision, like, as it were, a great sheet, and it was full of every living creature and all these creatures, and sent him a vision from heaven to get him straight. Has he not sent you one? I don't know what's right for you. I mean, there's certain things that I believe would certainly stand out. I think if you show up in a bikini, we might have a discussion. Has he not sent you the Spirit of truth? I have one requirement, one foundation, this book, the King James Version of the Bible. I believe it's the Word of God. But whether or not I preach it in this shirt, you know, we give a little distance. Pastor Neil's wearing... You see, whether I preach it in a suit and tie or sports shirt or a t-shirt, that's my conviction. You know, that I've preached before, there's nobody here, and I preached in a t-shirt. Oh my God, he preached in a t-shirt. You see. But that's my conviction. It's not one size fits all. Your wife's hair. That's a good example. Okay, does it need to be 12 inches long? 24 inches long? 36 inches long? 48 inches long? Does your skirt need to be 3 inches below the knee? Or 2.5 inches below the knee. You see, I'm not skirting these matters. Those are matters, listen to me, for the voice of truth. Those are matters for the voice of truth. Now, I draw the line on britches on women because I think anybody with a lick of common sense doesn't even know the Bible knows that britches belong on a man. Anatomy will teach you that. They always have, and they always will. It was the Holy Spirit, listen to me, it was the Holy Spirit, not me, that put a dress on that girl. I didn't have anything to do with it. contrary to what a lot of people believe. But when you start saying this long, or this long, or this color, or this print, it begins. And that's how we got here to our text. Brother so-and-so said, well, they got to be circumcised. Oh, how I know Brother so-and-so. Well, they got to be circumcised. We can't have uncircumcised people in here. The boy's working on Sunday. Yes, sir, there's a fire. Let it burn down. You see. You got to go back to the original question. The law. And Brian was honest. Because that's the answer of both. Well, some. Okay, which some? Which some? You see? But the Bible's so explicit. You go to the book of Colossians. And Colossians 2, 20 through 23. Taste not. Touch not. Handle not. You remember? We go there. And what does he call it? Same thing I call this message. Doctrines of men. Buddy, you want to get in trouble? You just follow the doctrines of men. Turn over to Colossians. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. And look at verse 20 very carefully. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Amen. If you've been in as many religious groups as I have, you've seen it all. And you've heard it all. You remember the reformers, they divided, they split over infant baptism. I've been told almost my entire life, you don't look like a preacher. To which I always say, what's a preacher look like? I had a lady tell me one time, preachers don't wear black hats. I had a black cowboy hat on. Oh, okay. Well, they wear white hats. Well, all the pictures I've seen of preachers had black hats. And so, are you a white hat preacher or are you a black hat preacher? Folks, I'm not making this up, you see. Do you think the Lord looked like, well, the Lord? Did you ever read what he looked like in Isaiah? Well, he can't be the Lord. That guy? He can't be the Lord. He doesn't even have blonde hair and blue eyes. He's not pretty at all. His mouth, does he ever eat? Man, he's skinny. Root out of dry ground? You see? And I've been witness to these things in almost every work I've ever been associated with. Or have come through our midst, remember? I don't think I could go back and make a list of everything that's come through our midst in this work. I don't think I could remember them all. And if I did, they'd say you're making that up. If you look at verse 8 of our text, it Remember what Peter said? And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. God gave them witness through the Holy Ghost. Has my witness through the Holy Ghost changed some through the years? Yeah, the Holy Ghost hadn't, but my witness has. I've had God say, okay, now you can do this. Just like raising those two boys. Well, Mama, you said I couldn't do that. Well, you can do it now. Son, go get on a tractor. You said I couldn't drive a tractor. Well, you can now. You see? Praise God. But it never, ever differs from this book. Not ever, you see. Different for me, but not different from this book. You know what he said? Do you remember over in 1 Corinthians? He said, for now we know in part. Oh man, I've known in part for a long time. And then sometimes I'll get it, and Shazam, Revelation, I got it now. And then something else comes along, and then something else comes along. It's like a golf swing. Every time I think I get it figured out, I got it now, I tell Melissa, I got it. Oh, you finally got it? I got it. How many times have I said that? Every week. New golf swing. Oh, I got it now. This one works. Well, how'd you shoot? Oh, man, it was terrible. What happened? You had it. Yeah, well, I did, but you see. For we know in part, amen. But one day, he said, one day, face to face, you see. And I shall be done with the doctrines of men, including my own. Do you hear me? Thank God. I believe Peter said it best in verse 10. Now, therefore, why tempt you, God? To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. How crystal clear that is to me. For 4,000 years, well, it wasn't 4,000 in the law, but there was a natural law with Adam. So you could say 4,000. Not the Levitical law Moses got. He said, Hoss, we haven't been able to keep it yet. Now you want to take this yoke and put it on them. You see? How clear that is to me. And I think, I said, well, how can I bring this to an end? And the verse came to me out of, which it does quite often, out of the book of Galatians. And he said, so then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman. Do you get it? But of what? Y'all don't know?
Free!
We're not children of the bondwoman in Christ. Free. Not the doctrines of men.